And that is Tania León. She is a great Cuban musician, born on this day in 1943, that tumbao, her piece there. But she's done pieces that pull all strains of Cuban music together. One of the great composers, and little known by many, but she's worth a listen. And now we're about to hear another piece in our series on stories of deindustrialized Baltimore, a project of the Post-Industrial Places Project at the University of Baltimore, Baltimore County. And all week long, we're going to bring you this series. The students have been working on interviewing, recording, and editing these pieces throughout the semester. I've been working with them. And without further ado, here's the third installment of Stories of Deindustrialized Baltimore. This series, this piece called Community.
Yesterday, we learned about the hard work and struggles of the residents of the Baltimore City industrial neighborhoods of Brooklyn, Curtis Bay, Wagner's Point, and Fairfield, as well as of former workers of the Sparrows Point Steel Mill in Dundalk across the harbor in Baltimore County. Today, we will get a further glimpse into their lives as they share stories of camaraderie and community and how they created a second home within their workplaces and enjoyed fellowship and recreation with their neighbors. Even through difficult work conditions, lasting friendships were made.
And I had the same legacy as other people. I'm a third-generation steel worker. My family's been working in the plant continuously since 1918.
It was a community down there, and it had three churches. It had a restaurant. It had a grocery store. It had a bank. It had a drugstore. We had a baseball diamond.
And so everybody kind of like saw each other all the time. And so it was a really close-knit neighborhood. And when they tore it down, it was just, it hadn't been the same.
The friends that you have in life that you carry through your whole life, a lot of times we meet these people in our place of work, especially a place like Sparrows Point, where we had so many struggles, yet we had so much unity.
It was a family, as it was such a part of our identity. It wasn't a job, it was who you were.
We was real tight. I mean, I might be having a bad day, you know what I mean? They would tell me, hey, Ham, go chill out for a while, man. You know, I take care. You really looked out for each other. And it was a lot of after work activities where our families got together.
The local bars, that was our meeting places. What would we do in there? We would talk about the tough day we had. We'd talk about the crew before us, that we beat them in their tonnage, their tonnage production.
The bond that we had in that co-governance and in that blast furnace was, I don't know, it was great. It was great. A lot of guys, I still keep in contact with them, you know what I mean? I love those guys and some of the young ladies, you know, that was working with us, you know what I mean? And I don't know, that was some of my best years. They were some of my best years down that plant.
They're my brothers because we work so close together. Once you depend on somebody that drastically, you become really close.
And it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the benefits as much as it was who we were. As a people, there was no man and woman in the mill. There was no black or white. There was us. We were steel workers. We were a culture in our own.
The guy next to you wasn't an employee. He was your best friend. You knew everybody's children, wives, I mean, because if you weren't family down there and stuck together, you are going to get hurt.
We developed a camaraderie with one another. There's a lot of us that we're still, you know, close friends. Even being a shop steward, you still developed a certain, more like legal aid for them. And the grievance committeeman, he was the high-priced attorney. I will miss Bethlehem Steel. That was Sparrows Point.
Really hasn't changed that much. There are a small group of committed Brooklyn Curtis Bay residents that are really working their tails off to try to make these very livable communities.
I've been a member of the club since 1946. I played football for the club, I played baseball for the club, and I played softball for the club, as did my brothers.
Most of the guys get along real good. We attend all these affairs together. Our wives are all friendly. The new group, like I say, it's a new group to us, because they all started getting in the club after we bought the shore. We had to let other people in to support the club, and because it was more expensive when we had that big place down there, and we had the city club too. Well, we still have parties. We have the meetings. Outside of the sports, it's strictly a pleasure club now.
We had a playground down at the bottom of Filbert Street, and that was another lifesaver. Because in the wintertime, you could go in, you could play cards, you could play ping pong at tournaments, shoot pool, we had a basketball court in the back. Again, it kept a lot of people out of jail. There was a dance there on Wednesday nights. There's also a dance up at the Brooklyn Park Rec, but it was a rougher crowd up there. It was kind of territorial. Curtis Bay people didn't mess too much with Brooklyn people, and nobody messed with the South Baltimore people. But Brooklyn had a pretty good reputation as a tough area. So I did my schooling there, and I remember Wagner's Point. As kids, we used to ride our bikes from Curtis Bay with our fishing rods. I don't know how we carried them, but so we came there. I was just a little kid when we came down. Stayed in Fairfield for, I guess, until I was about six, and then we moved up to Curtis Bay.
We had the bar drinking and carrying on right there. Talking about who caught this and that right there. Next thing you know, they go on out there. The biggest thing in Fairfield right there, doing something, them races right there. You can hear them right there. My grandma and them, they just sit on the porch right there and listen to that. People just come all the way from New York, New Jersey, down there. One guy came down there, he had a old raggedy 55 Chevrolet. He had a trailer, totally damn grinding on his pickup truck. But that boy right there, he beat everything come up the tour.
My dad and my one-legged uncle, they came down here in the 40s. And I was talking to my uncle about the shipyards the other day, and he remembered the first ship that came out of there. It was called the John Carroll. Along Curtis Avenue, there's a really long warehouse. You've probably seen it. It's where they fabricated the steel. And then they would ship that down to Fairfield to the shipyards.
Well, yeah, it's changed because it was a melting pot. Polish, German, Bohemian, Russian, Ukrainians, Lithuanians, and all had big families. All the kids, and we all knew each other. After the war, we all started getting married, raising families, kind of drifted away from Curtis Bay. But the club kept a lot of us together for a long time. But now I imagine this, if I say how many people from Curtis Bay belong to the club, I'd say roughly maybe 30, mm-hmm. And the rest are from elsewhere now. So it's Curtis Bay Athletic Club in name only.
You don't see younger people coming into the community and getting involved in community projects. I know in other neighborhoods, there's a lot of new energy and creativity. That's the thing that really hasn't changed over the years. There really hasn't been this groundswell of people moving into the community to really want to try to make things different.
Today we heard voices of Eddie Bartee Jr., Milton Brager, Jack Burkhart, Pernell Chappell Jr., Jimmy Drake, Gail Fleming, Darnell Hamlet, Donald Kellner, Joe Ed Lawrence, Ivan Leshinsky, Mike Lewis, Troy Pritt, Darlene Redeman, Joe Rozelle, and Bud and Stanley Stupi as they shared with us their stories of family and community. Tomorrow, as part of our week-long discussion and exploration into the stories of boom and bust in deindustrialized Baltimore communities, we will hear from folks from Baybrook and Sparrows Point to explore the processes and impacts of industrial decline in the Baltimore region. Today's piece was produced by UMBC students Darcy Placilla and Danny Siebenhaar.
And please consider joining us for an evening of food, music, silent auctions, raffles, and games to raise money for the Filbert Street Community Garden. The Filbert Street Community Garden is a conservation project, educational space, and food farm located in the Curtis Bay neighborhood of Baltimore. The gala will be held this Sunday, May 18th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 2640 Space, which is located at 2640 St. Paul Street in Charles Village. Tickets can be purchased at the event or on missiontix.com.